Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Dan Ball on WEEI.
Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into WEEI. Dan Ball with you just after 11 o'clock here on Saturday, October the 25th. 2025. Thanks so much for being with us here on Boston Sports Original in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Hello to those listening on the flagship 93.7 WEEI here in Boston, as well as those listening on our affiliates in the Cape, Providence, Rhode Island, Springfield, Worcester, Portland, Maine, Keene, New Hampshire, Claremont, New Hampshire, as well as White River Junction, Vermont. And of course, there are those who are listening on the free Odyssey app. If you haven't downloaded that already, make sure you do. No matter where you're listening and how you're listening, you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. That's how you call. That's how you text. We got a lot to get to on the show today. As though the Red Sox are not playing, baseball is still in the sports zeitgeist, so to speak. So coming up later on today, we'll talk to Jeff Merrick, who is a host of The Sheet of Daily Faceoff on the Nation Network. He's been with Sportsnet. He's been all over the place in the hockey world to try to get some answers on the Boston Bruins. And I know Razor and Billy Jaffe on the Morning Brew earlier this morning tried to give you some answers. I appreciate their insights, and I felt better listening to them, but I still have plenty of questions. So we'll talk to Jeff Merrick at 11:45 this morning. We got plenty of Bruins talk coming up, as well as a look at the Boston Celtics and their 0-2 start, the first time since the 2021-22 season that the Celtics have started 0-2. And there's plenty to be pessimistic about. Some rays of sunshine that have come through, but two quarters over eight quarters worth of basketball in which they've allowed 42 points to an opposing team. Not necessarily a stat that you want to kind of lead the post-game recap with, but we'll get to them and then some Red Sox and World Series thoughts as well. But we begin with what Ken and Curtis were talking about to end their show, Patriots and the trade deadline. And for the first time since at least 2021, and you could even go back and rewind to 2019 if you really want to go that far, the Patriots are in the position where we can have a conversation not about here's who's going to be shipped away by the Patriots for draft capital at the trade deadline, but rather here's who makes sense for the Patriots in order to potentially go on a bit of a run. It is a historically easy stretch of schedule for the New England Patriots this season. It is, as was shared by Mike Giardi yesterday on the afternoon show, the easiest strength of schedule since at least 1978. And I believe the research was still going on at the time that Giardi shared that stat. So it's very easy to say this is the easiest stretch of schedule for the Patriots since the merger. So that's what's in front of us here with a team that's already the number two seed in the AFC entering play this weekend. So the question then becomes, do the Patriots, given that it's their first season of real, you know, competition in this era of football, do they have the stomach to make significant additions? You could absolutely make the argument that no, they will not, and no, they don't have the stomach to do that, because look at what they've done already with what they have. It was supposed to be a season of building. It was supposed to be a season of, all right, we're taking steps towards becoming a contender. And it certainly wasn't supposed to be a season. I think most of us, 9 out of every 10 Patriots fans would say we probably didn't expect them to be in a position where we're talking about the kind of impact additions that could help a team make it to a divisional round game, an AFC championship game. And I know that this is Homer Honk Central saying these kind of things, but what about the schedule and the way this team has played deters you from having that kind of conversation? So the pessimistic naysayer would say, well, look at what they've done seven games in with this ragtag bunch of players around Drake May. That's what the naysayer would say, and they'd go, all right, let's run it with what they had. The vibes are immaculate. The culture being established by Mike Vrabel is immaculate. Why would I make an addition that would screw that up? Why would I risk the future in order to try to, you know, roll the dice on a gamble that could potentially positively impact the present? That's what the naysayer would say. And I think there's some credence to that. They weren't supposed to be at this point seven games into the season, so why not let this group see what they can prove without having to do that? But where's the fun in that conversation? Why would I sit here and go, yeah, they should just stand pat? Where's the fun in that? It's easy to argue that if you make a couple of swift additions, one to two additions in key areas, which I'll list out in just a moment, you have a legitimate chance to do something pretty special this season. We're talking about a team that could coast their way through the rest of the regular season and lock down a high seed in the AFC and make it pretty easy on yourself to do something if, again, you play your cards right. So that leads us into who everybody was hoping to hear from this morning, Diana Russini of The Athletic, and what she's hearing so far in terms of trade scuttlebutt in the NFL. And just let me know at 617-779-7937 if any of these names kind of ring in your ears a little bit. The first name that's kind of popped off here earlier this morning is the Jacksonville Jaguars and King of the Drops, Brian Thomas Jr. According to Diana Russini, the Jaguars are listening on calls for Brian Thomas. Even if a move feels highly unlikely, they're also shopping for defense. I mean, if this is in any way a possibility, I know he's had his issues with consistently catching the football this season.
Are you out of your mind?
David Azar, not a fan, or you just don't think it's going to happen?
I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, year two, I mean, he's dropped off a lot in his sophomore season, but I just don't think that's enough to move on. Like, you have Travis Hunter for the Jaguars, but past that, I mean, what else if you move him?
No, that's true. That's admitting it caught me completely off guard when I read it this morning, because the Jaguars are a team that are right in the thick of things this season, and Thomas, in his second year, 365 receiving yards over seven games and a touchdown. He has not been good. The drops have been significant. But it's kind of a chicken or egg conversation that we need to have. Is it Brian Thomas that has an issue catching the ball? Or is it Trevor Lawrence that's having a tough time finding him in spots where he can make catches? How many more hospital balls can you throw to Brian Thomas before he gets a little tired of things? So, again, I would be stunned if there was actually any veracity to this rumor. But if there is, doesn't 23-year-old Brian Thomas make way more sense than an A.J. Brown or a Chris Olave or a guy who you're kind of, you're dealing with, well, you know, where are they in their career? Are they on the upswing? Are they on the downswing? Olave more than Brown, you could say, well, this guy probably still has a lot left in the tank, but matching a 23-year-old Brian Thomas with your second-year quarterback, if there's anything to this, that's one name where I go, screw the future. Screw my first-round pick in 2026. I'm trading heaven and earth to try to unequivocally solve who is my number one wide receiver for a decade. So, again, to David's point, is this in the least bit possible? No. But, I mean, Diana Russini is legitimate enough of a reporter where if she says the Jaguars are taking calls, you should be ashamed if you're Mike Vrabel or Elliott Wolf or whoever the hell is making the decisions with the Patriots, if you're not one of those calls to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who would be foolish to even consider making that kind of move. But you have to have that conversation if that's in any way a possibility. So that was really the main name that jumped out. And now I also want to clarify, I did not have wide receiver ranked highly on my board of what I think the Patriots should do at the trade deadline, what I think they need to address. I, in putting the positions together, actually ended up moving them down to sixth. And I think you could actually argue it's even seventh. Running back to me is far and away the number one thing that you have to address. Because Ramondre Stevenson, I understand that he had a pretty good game last weekend, but you cannot let one game distract you from what has been a years-long issue with him putting the ball on the ground. I know that they're trying to coach him up, hold the ball high, hold it with two hands, protect the ball when you're going to the ground. These are all great things that you can tell a player, but there's two things. Mike Vrabel cannot transform into Ramondre Stevenson and do it. Ramondre is going to have to learn himself. And there's such a thing as the yips. When you have to start thinking about where the ball is, how secure it is in my hands as you're running towards these 300-pound defensive linemen, it becomes too much in a split second for a running back to deal with. I don't envision a future where Ramondre's fumbling issues are just going to magically poof disappear, and then you've got the guy that you thought you paid for a couple years ago. So that's still going to be an issue. Trevian Henderson has not taken the kind of jump that I think a lot of Patriots fans were banking on him taking. I also don't fully believe that Josh McDaniels and the offensive coaches have really figured out how he fits into the offense. It just hasn't looked like a good fit yet. He's supposed to be this ultimate Swiss Army knife, can put him anywhere, can split him out wide, you can use him in any kind of situation. But there's been so much just run him up the middle, run him up the middle, run him up the middle. And I don't think McDaniels has figured it out, and I don't think Trevian has figured out how to make the most of his opportunities either. So that's the state of the running back room right now for the Patriots. And you don't want to put this into the world, but, I mean, it's the state of the NFL. Injuries happen all the time. You're one injury away from it being one of those guys, and then Terrell Jennings as your second-string running back. That's unacceptable. And maybe most important in all of this conversation about adding a running back, and I see the calls lining up at 617-779-7937. What's your biggest area of need for the Patriots at the trade deadline? Mine is running back, and I don't think there's really a close second for me, though I've listed a few. The most important thing for me in terms of adding a running back to this offense is you have asked so much of Drake May to this point in the season. And to his credit, he's delivered. He has delivered to a point where in our next segment, we'll run through some of the numbers to kind of prove through 7 weeks, you're not going to find a more valuable player to their team than Drake May. But we'll get to that as I get my homerish Patriots takes out here on WEEI. You've asked so much of Drake in this passing offense through 7 games, and they have absolutely risen to the challenge. But what happens if the pendulum swings back and instead of facing the third most 8-man boxes in the league, basically daring Drake to throw, and he's beaten defenses cleanly on that all season, what happens when there's adjustments? What happens when all of a sudden you start to see more guys dropping back in coverage and all of a sudden it's harder for Drake to complete these explosive plays? I read it yesterday that Drake has more touchdowns, 5, on completions of 20 or more yards than incompletions this year. More touchdowns than incompletions on passes of 20 or more yards. That's crazy. And it's also a commentary on, well, this is the kind of defensive coverage that the Patriots are facing. If you start to face different looks on defense, it's going to change the dynamic of the Patriots' offense. It's going to limit the ability for Drake to air it out and complete these explosive plays and pass with the kind of efficiency that he has so far this season. So you need to, have to, absolutely must bring in another weapon to try to balance out this offense a little bit more, to rebuild some trust in the run game. Because you saw it on display last week. When the Patriots have a running back that opposing defenses, not even fear, but at least have to be cognizant of. Last week you had Ramondre at least being somewhat productive. It opens up the play action in a way that we hadn't seen yet this season. So I think it's, if you're able to do that on a more consistent basis with the way Drake is playing, it vaults this offense towards the top of the league. So that is my impassioned speech, and I remove myself from my soapbox to tell you that running back has to be at the top of the list for this team. Has to, with the way that the passing offense is operating above expectation. It's been so much better than I think anybody could have expected through seven games. You now have a wide receiver one and a wide receiver two, and neither of them are Pop Douglas. And I know this is going to blow your mind, but neither of them are Efton Chisholm either. Remember all that during the offseason? He's going to be the next star. He's the next Julian Edelman, the next Danny Amendola. That was the state of the conversations we were having around this passing offense in the offseason. But come to find out, your best players have played their best. Stephon Diggs has become a really reliable target in all different depths of target. Kayshon Booty has been the best deep ball receiver in football, or top three at very worst, statistically speaking, so far this season. The catches above expected and all that other crap that I cite on the afternoon show, but I don't actually really memorize. He has been tremendous in all of that. So adding another running back to that room to me is huge. The running backs that were listed, trade targets in The Athletic. This was not Diana Russini. This was earlier on this week. The two at the bottom of the list, Browns running back Jerome Ford and Jets running back Breece Hall. Two very, very different situations that you're tapping into if you're making those trades. Breece Hall is at least should be a bell cow three down back in this league. He just plays for the New York Jets. And unfortunately, that's its own weight that you tie to your ankles as you're trying to run. I play running back or anything for the New York Jets. All right, we'll knock some of the stats off of my ledger, because it's its own curse. But I think him on a team with an offensive line that can run block at least halfway decently and a quarterback that at least puts a little bit of fear into opposing defenses is incredible. But you're going to have to pay through the nose for that player. Jerome Ford is a little bit different, and you're going to see this running game on display tomorrow, because Quinshon Judkins is about him and the tight end Fannin are about the only things in the Browns offense that actually work the way they're supposed to. And Jerome Ford came in as the number one back because Judkins hadn't signed, and there was a bunch of stuff going on during the offseason, but he has jumped in and secured that number one spot. And now you have to imagine the state of the Browns, they're going to be looking to pick up some assets here at the trade deadline if they get the opportunity. So running back is number one for me. Those were the two players that are listed. You can go to every bad team in the league and wonder, okay, well, who's the number one? Who's the number two? Can I get some kind of value off of this? You know who I'd be calling right now is the Carolina Panthers, because they have two running backs right now in Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, both of whom I would take at least to run in tandem with Ramondre Stevenson, if not get the first carry. Dowdle, in those couple games that he had when Hubbard was hurt, was historically good. You know, the two players that you think of in the same sentence, Christian McCaffrey in his prime and Rico Dowdle in his prime. But those are the kind of stats he was putting up. That's the team I would be calling. Absolutely see what you can do to try to get one of those guys. But anyways, 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls on the trade deadline. Let's get one in quickly before the break. Justin is in Washington, D.C. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Dan. First, I want to start off by saying you're not being a homer. I think we need to realize this. The Commanders' roster is atrocious. Humble brag, I'm a season ticket holder.
Oh, wow.
And they went into Tampa Bay and Detroit last season on the road in the playoffs, and they won because of their quarterback. So we need to start buying in. And I agree, we need a running back. Go trade a seventh-round pick for a running back. I do think, though, I just saw the Commanders trade a second-round pick for Marcus Lattimore, and he has been atrocious. We saw Mohamed Sanu here.
Yep.
He was atrocious. So I think if you're going to make a big trade, it really needs to be for a star player. Also, somebody that, when they learn the playbook, it's rather straightforward. So that's why I look at defensive line. And I don't want to just stick on Max Crosby, but if you go trade a first and a second for Max Crosby. You got a guy on a team-friendly contract at $30 million a year. He's young. He's 28, 29, and he signed for three more seasons. So considering that they could actually go and make a run at this thing in the playoffs, I think they need to be all in, and I don't want another meek-willed stiff like Craig Breslow in the front office running the Patriots. I want somebody to put their cojones on the table, Dan. What does that sound like?
Love it. I love it, Justin. Thank you for the call. And Brezbot will be answering in short order to you, Justin. But look, I would love to be in the kind of situation where I think the Patriots are going to trade, you know, a first and or two firsts and for this all-world player. I'm trying to keep my expectations realistic for what I think this team is thinking they're capable of this year. I just don't see, given that this is supposed to be the first year of whatever this era of Patriots football is going to be, and I know they're so far ahead of schedule, I don't see them taking that kind of swing. I heard Ken mention trading for Myles Garrett, and David jumped in. I'm like, that's my guy back behind the glass jumping in and saying that's not going to happen. The money is prohibitive. The dead cap that has to be exchanged in that deal, I think, is prohibitive to a trade. But I love the fact that we're talking about Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett or one of these generational pass rushers that apparently either are or aren't on the block, depending on which day it is. I'm just trying to look more. I'm looking more around the fringes because I think that's more realistic in what the Patriots are going to look at when the deadline comes around. It's going to be a mid to lower round pick, as Justin alluded to, a seventh round pick for a running back, a sixth, a fifth, a whatever. I don't think anything above a fourth round pick would get moved in any trade. But I did like from the 860, Devin Achane. Or Devon Achane, whatever his first name is, Achane from the Dolphins. If there was any rumor, I kind of file that in Brian Thomas category, where is it going to happen? Probably not. Is that a team that's a dumpster fire that may be looking to recoup some assets right now, fire their coach and start a rebuild? Absolutely. And that's the kind of guy that also changes an offense. But let's talk some trades at 617-779-7937. We got a couple calls we'll get to on the other side of the break. Don't forget, Jeff Merrick will join us to talk Bruins hockey and NHL hockey at 11:45. But before all of that, here's David Azar and what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Isn't it great to be talking about who the New England Patriots can add at the trade deadline this year? Isn't it great to talk about tinkering to play armchair GM, not for who has the best draft capital that you can acquire sending somebody out the door, but instead we can talk about names like the names that have been mentioned on our text line, 617-779-7937, from the 508, Pop Douglas and a seventh to the Falcons for Tyler Allgeier. They just have a running back committee with Henderson, Stevenson, and Allgeier. I don't mind that. Bijan Robinson has become arguably the best running back, or maybe second best behind Jonathan Taylor's season. So he has also been responsible, Bijan has, for an absurd percentage of the Falcons. It was like 40% of the Falcons offense or something like that. From Frank at the 240, do not trade away premium draft picks, nothing more than a fourth and maybe a fringe player like Kyle Duggar. Safety, by the way, was my number two on my list of positions I think the Patriots should be focusing on at the trade deadline, just because you've already seen – it was a thin position coming into the year, and then you cut Peppers because, you know, that makes sense. You know, Duggar's banged up. He's dealing with a knee injury. He's the only player that's questionable for tomorrow. But you've had Jalen Hawkins dealing with injuries. It's just been a very inconsistent rotation of guys at the safety position. So if you're looking in the secondary, I'd have that conversation as well. Somebody jumped in on the text line. I got to see if I can find it quickly. Oh, there we go. From the 860. This plan is good. I like when somebody prefaces their text by saying, like, ignore all this other crap that you're hearing, Dan. This is the plan. Trade the Raiders for Jackson Powers Johnson. That kid could protect May. Okay. I'm never going to complain about making a trade on the offensive line. Your one issue, and I don't know this off the top of my head, so I'd have to do some more research. So Jackson Powers Johnson is currently the right guard for the Las Vegas Raiders. As long as he can swing to the other side and play left guard, I'm all for it, because I'm really impressed with the start for Will Campbell. Garrett Bradbury has been the ultimate no news is good news center so far. You barely hear him other than just a stray graphic from Pro Football Focus after a good week. And Morgan Moses was one of seven or eight tackles that didn't allow a pressure last week, and Onwenu was the only known quantity on the offensive line to begin with. That one spot where you're like, I'm not entirely sure I love the plan moving forward is left guard. So if there was somebody out there who you could slide right in between Campbell and Bradbury, and it's no disrespect to Jared Wilson and it's no disrespect to Ben Brown. I just think if we're talking about an offensive line that's now kind of become a 4 out of 5 solved mysteries, then I think that would do wonders in kind of shoring it up. I think Wilson could still very well be the center of the future. He's a natural center. I harped on that. I didn't understand why he wasn't playing center. And then Garrett Bradbury's come out and had a season that's been a 180-degree shift, a complete change from what we saw at the end of his time in Minnesota. So it tells you what I know about coaching the offensive line. But they figured that out, and I just think between Wilson and Brown, yeah, fine, I can talk myself into it, but I just it takes a lot of pressure off of Campbell, takes a lot of pressure off of Bradbury, and it just continues to shore up an offensive line that's done pretty well in front of Drake May. So we have Jeff Merrick joining. We're going to switch to the Bruins in just a couple of minutes. So let's rip through some trade calls. Let's go with Mike in Randolph. Good morning, Mike. How are you? Mike, going once, going twice.
I got you.
What's going on, Mike?
On mute, sorry.
No, you're good.
Good morning, Dan. Hey, one of your texts, I made a good point. I wouldn't go anywhere crazy more than a third or fourth unless it was a huge splash. And I think you're kind of diving into it right now. You look at it, right? Moses has been good, but he's like 35.
Yep.
Bradbury's been good. He's early to mid-30s. Onwenu's been the worst lineman on the team this year.
Right.
I think he's been way worse than Wilson. At least you have those two guys, but you got three other spots you got to show up. If I was going to trade for anything, safety would be my number one.
Okay.
Because they're giving up so many big plays over the top, and these safeties are lost. Every single one's a blown coverage by the safeties. And Kyle Duggar, good knee or bad knee, he's already washed. He's done. Again, another awful Bill pick. Second-round pick for a D2 guy. Bill was terrible. He's the reason they're in this position. And I like the trajectory we're going right now. But don't empty the cupboard for this year. If Drake May was 38 years old, I'd say, sure, he's 22. Like, we have a future. Let's build. If you could get a Brian Thomas, I mean, God, Dan, how do you not do that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll give a first.
Right.
But let's not go carried away. Let's not give up two firsts or a first and a third. If it's a first and a sixth, sure. Okay. But let's not go carried away. Love the show, Dan. Talk to you.
Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated. Let's go to Jamie and Lynn on the running backs. What's going on, Jamie?
Not much, Dan. How are you?
Good. How are you? What's up?
Not much. I just think we should stand pat right now.
Completely stand pat. Not do a thing?
Not yet. They got obviously Stevenson, Henderson, who was going to come into shape. He's a rookie. He's played, six, seven games. You got to give the kid a little bit of time. I know his blocking has been shady, but that kid can play. There's a reason why they drafted him in the second round of Ohio State. Vrabel had inside information on him because of his connections to Ohio State. So I think they should just stand pat right now. As a call mentioned, get some safety on the back end and I think we're going to be good. I think we're going to be 11-5 and, you know, in a run-up for the division.
All right, Jamie, thank you for the call. And I don't disagree that Henderson has a lot of talent. I think he still has every chance in the world to be a good player in this league. I just what happens if Ramondre puts the ball on the ground, you know, another two more times this weekend? What happens if one of them gets a little dinged up? Because again, you're only running two running backs out there. You lost Antonio Gibson in what was a strength of your team coming into the year, but now you're down one. One has a fumbling problem, and one, even if he is 6 to 7 games into his career, and I agree that I think he's going to be fine. He's not fine yet. He's not an active contributor in what you're trying to do as an offense. So, yeah, I still think you're a running back away. I completely agree with the opinions there on safety being a big add. And you could make an argument almost everywhere on this roster. I wasn't even going to really bring up wide receiver as a need for this group, which is crazy. Can you imagine telling yourself 2 months ago that when we got to the trade deadline, you'd go, well, you need this, and you need this, and you need that, and you need that. But the one place that we might be okay is wide receiver. I think we thought coming into the year, like, you're calling 31 other teams and going, who do you got? Can your custodian in the building catch a couple of passes for Drake? You know, Steph is dragging his leg behind him because he can't run. Douglas can't catch. Chisholm hasn't panned out. We were poking holes the size of Swiss cheese holes in every single wide receiver you had. And now you look and go, you know what? This group is pretty good. This group is getting the job done. So, yeah, I'm not adding. If it's just to add around the fringes, I'm fine with where a wide receiver is. I really am. But if it's a true number one. Because you're going to end this season, regardless of where the Patriots finish, and now we're having conversations about 10, 11 wins, competing for the division, competing for a top seed in an AFC, in a league that is just shockingly mediocre. It is just, there's been some pretty bad or boring football being played by teams that were supposed to be pretty good. Some losses that you just go, what the hell is going on? But, I mean, you take it. In a league where everybody else is mediocre and injury-prone, you vault your way up the standings. And that's just kind of the way it's been. But regardless of where they finish, we're going to leave this season with the same question that we had a season ago, which is, okay, who is my number one wide receiver? I know Diggs is on a multi-year deal. There is an out in his contract after this year, and you still are going to have the desire to pair that Brian Thomas, T. Higgins, that true game-changing number one receiver with your game-changing quarterback. And we ran out of time to talk about this, so I'll put a pin in it and revisit it later, because Drake has been the MVP through 7 weeks. Okay? That's just, I would like to put that out there now, and we'll revisit why in just a little bit, but by the definition of the term, most valuable player to his team. A lot of guys are having good years. Matthew Stafford's having a good year. Patrick Mahomes is having a good year, and he hasn't had as many pieces around him as maybe he has in past years. Jonathan Taylor having a career year. Most valuable to what their team is doing, with the Patriots as the number two seed in the AFC, and already more wins than each of the last 2 years. Yeah, Drake's your 7 week MVP. And I don't think the conversation, if you look at it, most valuable, the definition of the term, I don't think it's overly close. Now, maybe that is where I'd get the homer honk from Justin in D.C. But 617-779-7937. I see your calls lining up. We're going to pivot away from the Patriots and football for just a moment. So we'll revisit this conversation coming up in just a little bit. Because coming up next, Jeff Merrick, host of The Sheet from Daily Faceoff. He was a part of the Sportsnet coverage of the NHL for years. I'm looking for answers on the Boston Bruins. And I'm certainly hoping that Jeff will have them. We'll talk to him next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Ball on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, the Boston Bruins are looking for answers. Through three games, it seemed like, oh, Marco Sturm, he's the hero. He's the savior. He's the chosen one for the Bruins behind the bench. But since then, they have lost six games in a row, and they're lucky that the Calgary Flames exist because otherwise they'd have the longest losing streak in the NHL. I, as a Bruins fan, am looking for answers on this team, so I had to turn to the very best. Joining us here on WEEI, the host of The Sheet every Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock through Daily Faceoff and the Nation Network. That is Jeff Merrick. Mr. Merrick, good morning. How are you?
Mr. Merrick, is my dad here? How you doing, Dan? Glad to be on with you today. How's it going, pal?
Everything is great. It's a pleasure to get to catch up with you. We were connected through a mutual friend. Yes.
Yeah, actually, you read that intro just as I wrote it. Just to flatter my ego, so I want to open this conversation up by thanking you.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and a friend of Glenn Clark's is somebody who deserves an A plus intro for sure. But before we get into the topics of the day and the disaster that is the Boston Bruins start to the season, can you tell us a little bit about the new venture that's starting up on Monday, the Hockey Lifers, with a gentleman known better as Gabby?
Yeah, Bruce Boudreau, longtime NHL coach, longtime player. I mean, he's won every championship, either as a player or a coach, other than the Stanley Cup. It's a weekly podcast through Monumental Sports Network. It's going to be, I'll be blown with you, it's going to be a lot of stories, Dan. Like, Gabby's been there, done that, got the hat, the whole deal. So it's going to be a lot of stories. It'll be a lot of current news, current goings-on around the NHL, but... This is going to be a whole lot of story time. So if you're interested in great hockey stories, where most of them are even true, Dan, check out the Hockey Lifers Monday, wherever you get your podcasts, also on the Monumental Sports Network's YouTube feed.
Awesome. Looking forward to subscribing and hearing that stories from two of the very best storytellers in the game right now. But you got to help me out with this Bruins group right now. Before we get into where they are right now, you looked at their offseason. What'd you expect this team to be able to accomplish based on the state of their roster entering the year?
Not a lot. Like, I'll just be blunt. Yeah. I really like the hiring of Marco Sturm. And if you talk to anybody who's ever played for Marco Sturm, one of the things they will always come back to is how much he is a complete stickler for tiny details. I talked to a couple of his players that had him with the Ontario Reign, the farm team, the AHL, for the Los Angeles Kings. And you know where sometimes a lot of coaches won't want to get their hands dirty and actually work with players, you know, feeding pucks for one-timers. He would stay after practice and do that with all the guys.
Wow.
Like, this is the 24/7, fully invested, pay attention to every detail. Like, the big thing for Sturm is, and you saw this with his career too, Dan, he's more interested in consistent performances than peaks and valleys. He is more interested in someone bringing a consistent effort to the rink, to the team, to the organization every single day than someone having an insane game where they put up 5 points and then go quiet for five more games. That's not Marco Sturm. His calling card is consistency and details. And listen, for some players, that's a tough learn. And I know it sounds harsh when I say I didn't have a lot of expectations for the Boston Bruins. They have elite-level players at every single position except the center position.
Right.
And it's really tough to win hockey games. What's the phrase? Oh, they're a donut team. No center. It's really hard to win hockey games if you don't have, you know, if you don't have NHL quality and NHL caliber centermen who are playing in their slots, right? Like, you can have NHL centermen, and that's great, but it doesn't really work out when you have someone who should be a number two playing first line center, who's someone who should be a third line center playing second line center. You know what I'm getting at here. It's tough to win hockey games without that center position addressed.
So is it fair to say that this team is lacking those two characteristics that you talked about with Marco Sturm, the consistency, the work ethic? Is it fair to say the Bruins have been lacking in the areas that Marco Sturm would most want to profess?
I think it's kind of just a transition for the Boston Bruins, to be honest with you. Like, listen, Marco Sturm, like, whenever there's a rookie coach, right? Like, and he's a rookie coach in the NHL, there's a feeling out process. There's not a sort of track record that guys can lean back on. So I think this is more of a situation than in a lot of other coaching situations, most notably, you know, Anaheim with Joel Quenneville,
right,
where everybody on the Anaheim Ducks team, you know, understands, you know, the success rate that Joel Quenneville has had at the NHL level. I think this is still a team that's going through a feeling out process with a rookie NHL coach, one that has a lot of promise, one that we all knew would get an NHL job eventually here. And that can be awkward. Now, the other thing that, you know, I always get weird about this because it's the beginning of the season, but the one thing I'd want your listeners to consider too, when, you know, writing off the Boston Bruins season as many might be right now, they're 3-6 to start the season, and that's not great. And your point about the Calgary Flames is well made. Calgary and Boston, though, are in much different positions in their winning cycle. Calgary's looking at, you know, probably more of a full tear down here.
Sure.
Considering their start with a lot of veteran players we could see going out the door. The thing about the Boston Bruins is, and I'm always very cognizant of this, this is happening in October. Would we be having the same conversation if the Boston Bruins went through this in January? I mean, teams do. Teams do on losing streaks. Six games is getting into uncomfortable territory, certainly.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, how many times have you seen, like, the Buffalo Sabres, for example, will go on a 10-game losing streak, and that's the season. To right. me, six is kind of a tipping point, right? You cannot rip off more than six, maybe seven losses in a row and still have, you know, any, you know, legitimate claim to making the playoffs come April. So this is a really sensitive time for this organization.
No question about that. We're speaking with Jeff Merrick right now here on WEEI, host of The Sheet, weekdays at 1 on Daily Faceoff in the Nation Network. Make sure you subscribe to The Hockey Lifers with Merrick and Bruce Boudreaux, debuting on Monday, wherever you get your podcast. Let's expand from the Boston Bruins just a bit. The power dynamic, sure, in the Eastern Conference, though the Bruins are not part of that race at the top, which teams in the East have impressed you most early on?
Carolina.
Yep.
There's a handful, but really, you know, Carolina coming out of the gates the way that they did. And the other thing that's fascinating about Carolina right now, and I'm not sure if you watched that Colorado game on Thursday night, you know, the Quebec Nordiques versus the Hartford Whalers, the awesome throwback WHA jerseys. It looked great.
That's the most aesthetically pleasing game I've seen in years. It was incredible.
Just a visual treat, eh, Dan? Like,
right,
just a visual treat. But here's the thing about that. Like, Keandre Miller is a scratch, surprise scratch before the game, so he's dinged up right now. The Carolina Hurricanes are doing this essentially with their entire left side decimated and unavailable for service. No Jacob Slavin, no Shane Gostisbehere, and now no Keandre Miller. And then they lost Carrier in the game, they lost Eric Robinson in the game. How the Carolina Hurricanes are able to continue to do this is nothing short of incredible. And the other part about this, too, as there are so many teams, we just talked about centers at the Boston Bruins, as there are so many teams around the NHL looking for specifically a second-line center, Logan Stankoven, I got Caps on the mind, Logan Stankoven has done a great job as second line center for the Carolina Hurricanes here. You'll get any manager, Dan, any coach saying it's always better to solve your problems internally. Nobody's talking about the Carolina Hurricanes going out right now and trying to pick up, you know, a 2C a second center, right? There's no conversations about, oh, well, the rumor mill about, you know, William Karlsson in Vegas, could he end up in Carolina? Like, all of that is gone now because of how good Logan Stankoven, we've always just assumed, well, Logan Stankoven is a winger, the end. Logan Stankoven's been outstanding in the middle. New Jersey is really impressed. But the other team that I want to park here for your listeners is, once upon a time, the Edmonton Oilers were must-watch television with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Every game was exciting, and it still is.
Oh, yeah.
But the most exciting team in the NHL right now, the Montreal Canadiens, they are flat out first of all, they got speed to burn. That is a fast team, and they have elite-level skill. They got high-end goal scoring. They got high-end goaltending. Lane Hudson is worth the price of admission on his own. I don't know how far the Habs go this year. They certainly do look like a solid playoff team and not just a wild card team. But I do know one thing. I don't miss Montreal Canadiens games. And I know I'm saying this to a Boston Bruins audience. But if you get a chance, watch the Montreal Canadiens. This is a fun team to watch. The Demidov kid is so legit and making passes that remind us of, you know, like a young Alex Kovalev in the NHL. So those have been some of the nice surprises in the East.
I was going to say, you're going to get a couple Boston listeners bristling at the singing the praises of the Montreal Canadiens. But the point is well taken, and you got to be you, kid, in Lane Hudson. So at least that's something.
Yeah, and listen, it's not all doom and gloom for Boston. Like, I watched a ton of Dean Letourneau play at St. Andrews College. It's about 20 minutes away from my house. I know the guy that runs the program there, Dave Manning. He's run a great program for a long time. Dean Letourneau at least five games in here, looks to have turned a corner. And the disastrous season from last year is very much in his rearview mirror. And I think by now you guys know how much you have found money in James Higgins, and how he slid down to your slot is still a mystery for many. But nonetheless, there are some good things on the horizon for Boston.
No question. Absolutely. James Higgins, a nice little 5-game point streak that we're keeping up with here in the Boston area. But once again, make sure you tune in the sheet every Monday through Friday at 1 through Daily Faceoff in the Nation Network. Subscribe to the Hockey Lifers debut episode coming up on Monday for Hockey Stories Abound. Mr. Merrick, I know you're busy on the youth travel scouting scene this weekend. So enjoy the enjoy the rink fries and everything else that's coming your way. Been a pleasure to catch up with you.
Listen, I'm in the parking lot right now, the Tim Hortons Iceplex in Rochester, about to watch my kid play game 2. They beat the junior Americans yesterday. I'm not sure who they're playing here, but I'm here for youth hockey in Rochester. I was hoping to get to that Rochester Laval game last night, but my kid had a game, and my wife would scold me if I went to the Amherst game over that. So No pro hockey for me here this weekend.
There you go. Well, good decisions made in the process. But enjoy it. Say hello to our friend Glenn Clark next time you get the chance. We'll catch up again soon.
Hockey's the best. Always good. Thanks, Dan.
That's Jeff Merrick joining us here on WEEI. Many a laugh talking about hockey that doesn't involve the Boston Bruins. But we'll get into the plight of the Bees and what's facing them moving forward next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver,
Available now wherever you get your podcasts.